We're looking at things with eyes of faith. Either we're looking and saying, no, we can't, or we're saying, yes, we can, and much of that is our choice. I can't change that for you. God won't change that for you. It's your choice and mine whether we're going to look at the next 10 hours, the next day, the next year, the next 10 years with fear, with anxiety, with worry, with nervousness, or whether we're going to look at them with faith, with confidence, believing and trusting God and saying yes to parts of life that perhaps we usually wouldn't because of our fears. The way that we look at our family, we look at it with fear or faith. The way we look at our health, we look at it with fear or faith. The way we look at what we do, we're always looking at things with fear or faith. And one of the best examples is the passage we're going to look at today, which is in the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14. So if you want to follow in your own Bible, that's where we are, Numbers chapter 13 and 14. But we'll also have the words up on the overhead. So as we prepare to look at Numbers 13 and 14, let's pray. Lord, fear or faith, it isn't that simple, but in another sense it is. You call us to see the whole of our life and to see it through the lens of who you are and who you created us to be. And so we pray that as we come before your word and as we look at the way that your people have responded to your calling by fear and by faith, we pray that you will teach us and help us as those things govern our life and help us to move more to the faith and less to the fear, more able to say yes to the things you call us to in Christ's name. Amen. Numbers is the fourth book of the Bible, a book written by Moses. The background of the story is Moses has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They'd spent 2 years crossing the desert. It shouldn't take that long to get across the desert, but when you're moving a million people at once, it takes a while. They get to the edge of the promised land. They'd been 2 years in the wilderness. They're ready to go into what's now Israel, the land that God has promised them. And Moses says, look, before we go in, I'm going to send some spies. That's a very topical issue. And send some spies to spy out the land and see what it's like. So he selects 12 people, 12 men, one each from the 12 tribes of Israel. He sends them in, they go in and they look at everything, and he gives them some very specific instructions. Then they come back and they report. There's a majority report and a minority report. 10 of the spies say, sure, it's beautiful, but it's filled with enemies and we can't go in. They're seeing with the eyes of fear. God's already done all these miracles in Egypt, but they've already forgotten them. They're afraid and they say, we can't go in and possess the land God has promised. There's also a minority report. 2 of the spies say, sure, we can do it. They see with eyes of faith. Their names are Caleb and Joshua. Later, they're the only 2 guys of that entire generation who get in to see the promised land. The people start complaining. They see, they think, they get afraid, and they say, we can't do it. So God says, okay, fine, this generation doesn't get to go into the promised land, and for the next 38, 40 years, they wandered in the desert until a whole generation had passed on. Folks, I want us to possess God's purpose for us. God's purpose for us with faith. I want it for each one of you individually, and I want it for us as church in the marketplace. I don't want us stuck in any wilderness. So this question of how we see and respond to God with faith and not fear, how we just say yes to God, is an important one for us. The story starts in Numbers 13. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the new land. Verse 17, go northward through the Negev into the hill country, see what kind of land this is, and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. He gives them some questions. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls or are they unprotected? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there many trees? And then he says, enter the land boldly. Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. It's kind of like Moses is giving them a vision trip. He says, I'm going to send you on a fact-finding mission. I want you to go see everything out there. I want you to sample. I want you to taste. I want you to bring some back. They're doing due diligence, if you like, before they go into the promised land. Makes sense. Before any of us concede with a goal, we have to see something of the goal. If we can't see something in our lives, we can't really succeed with it in our lives. If you can't see yourself being healthy, it's hard to be healthy. If I can't see myself being used by God for His glory, then it's hard for me, God, to use me for His glory. If you can't see yourself, I don't know, married, finishing uni, starting a career, whatever your dream is, if you can't somehow see it, it's hard to succeed in it. We've got to see it before we sense and say and do something about it. Here's what happened. So they spied out the land all the way from the wilderness up to Hebron. They saw the Ahimanites, the Sheshaites, and the Talmaites, all the families descended from Anak. Now, I don't want you to confuse those tribes, the Ahimanites, the Sheshaites, and the Talmaites. They're not the parasites, they're not the termites, they're not the stalactites, the stalagmites, the satellites. Be careful you don't get messed up in your Bible study. I am just kidding. It's okay. He says, when they come to Eshcol, they cut down clusters of grapes so large it took two of them to carry it back on a pole, and they also took samples of pomegranates and figs. I'm getting hungry already. This really is a bountiful country. It's plentiful. It's full of gigantic fruit. It's like they've been feeding it all Miracle-Gro. And it really is the phrase, land of milk and honey. Friends, I grew up in the Hunter wine region. I went to school with the Tyrrells and the McGuigans, but I've never seen a bushel or a cluster of grapes so big it took two people to carry it. This is an enormously prosperous country. And then it says in verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men, who were the spies, returned to Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they'd seen and showed them the fruit they'd taken from the land. All of this sounds really good, doesn't it? Great property, great fruit, bountiful country. But 10 of the spies saw the land with eyes of fear. Only 2 saw it with eyes of faith. So they gave a negative report. In the negative report, the people decide, we can't go into the promised land, we give up, we're afraid, and they die in the desert. So today, so that we're better able to just say yes when God asks it of us, we're looking at the things that happen when we look at our future with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith, and then we'll look at how we fill our eyes with faith so you and I can move into God's purpose for our lives. What happens when I look at my future with eyes of fear? Something that can happen is I get stressed by conflicting information. Throughout our lives, we're going to hear good news and bad news, and what we focus on will determine what we do with our life. We can focus on the negative or we can focus on the positive. If we don't look with eyes of faith, we're going to be stressed every time we hear different news. One minute we read the newspaper and it says the stocks are up. And the next minute we read it and it says unemployment is going up. What are we going to look at? Verse 27 says, this was their report to Moses. We arrived in the land that you sent us to see, and it's indeed a magnificent country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit as proof. But the people living there are powerful and their cities and towns are fortified and very large. We also saw the descendants of Anak who are living there. Who are the Anakin? The Anakin are from the tribe of Skywalker, and the Force was very strong with them. I am just kidding. That's the wrong story. I got confused for just a minute. The Anakin were actually large people. In a sense, they were tall. They were heavily built. From a small Middle Easterner, these guys looked like giants. Notice they said, it's a magnificent country, but the people living there are powerful. See the conflicting report? Good news, but. Notice the but. Folks, the biggest problem that's going to keep us from experiencing God is our buts. Probably not the best way to say that, but it gets worse. Every one of us has a but. I could do this, but. I know God wants me to do this, but. Everybody has their buts. Some buts are bigger than other buts. It just gets worse. I know, I'm sorry. I can always see other people's buts and it's harder to see my own. And it's those buts that keep us from becoming all that God wants us to be. But I can't do it. If we're going to let God use us, if we're going to find those times, we should just say yes. We've got to let go of some of the buts of our life. Let go of the big excuses, the big problems, the big reasons why we think I could never do this. We get stressed by conflicting information. The second thing that happens when I look with eyes of fear at my future is I develop a scarcity mentality. I'm not only stressed more when I'm looking with eyes of fear, but I also develop a scarcity mentality. What's that? It's the idea that there's no room for us. There's not going to be enough for everybody. So I'd better hold on and hoard what little I've got. I shouldn't give it away. I shouldn't expand myself. I shouldn't take risks because I fear the scarcity. I'm going to batten down the hatches and hold on. This is what happened to these guys. They said, there is no room for us. Verse 29. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites and Amorites, they live in the hill country. The Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. What they're saying, this is supposed to be our promised land and it's already filled with people. And these people are enemies and they don't want us moving in. There's no room for us. Why, God, did you bring us here? There's just not enough land for everybody. When we see with eyes of fear, we get this scarcity mentality and we start saying, all the good jobs are already taken. How in the world am I going to get a job in this economy? All the good men have already been taken. How am I ever going to get married? The scarcity mentality. The third thing that happens is we fulfill our own self-defeating prophecies. When I look with eyes of fear, I fulfill my own self-defeating prophecies. What do I mean by that? I mean the person who says we can do it and the person who says we can't do it are both right. If I say I can and if I say I can't, I'm right either way because I'm going to end up fulfilling what my attitude is. Right now, people who are going to compete for gold in the Olympics in 2016 are already training. And I can guarantee you, not one of them is saying, I can't do this. You don't ever win a gold going into a race thinking, I can't win. You only go into a race if you think, I can win. If you tell yourself in advance, I can't do this, this will never happen in my life, I couldn't get into shape, I couldn't get out of debt, I couldn't get married, I couldn't adopt a child, I couldn't, whatever it is, I could give you 100 couldn'ts and you'd be right. We're going to fulfill our own self-fulfilling prophecy. That's called seeing with eyes of fear. There were only two guys of the 12 that went in to spy on the land that said, we can. And there are only two guys that got to go into the promised land 40 years later. God let Joshua and Caleb go into the land. Everybody else said, we can't. And God said, you're right. You can't. But the man who had gone up with Caleb said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. We're going to fulfill our own self-defeating prophecy. And if that wasn't bad enough, when I look at my future with eyes of fear, I infect everybody else with my negativity. I don't just keep it to myself. When we're negative, when I'm fearful, when you're worried, sorry, it doesn't affect just you. It affects everybody else that you love too. We spread it around. Verse 32 said, and they spread a bad report about the land they had explored. Pretty soon, the whole nation is worried. The whole nation is fearful. The whole nation, it becomes contagious. Not only do I infect others with my negativity. The fifth thing is I see myself as inadequate to face our challenges, my challenges. It's a sad thing that happens. People who have the ability to do something with their lives are stymied and stopped and barricaded by their own negative attitude. I see myself as inadequate for my challenges. This is what it said in verse 32. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. Really? Isn't that an exaggeration? Just eats them up, devours them. great size, really everybody there? It's like people who say everybody's doing it. Well, they're not. Not really. Everybody's in debt? No, not really. All the people we saw of great size, we saw giants there. You know what happens when we worry about something? It gets bigger. Have you noticed that? The more we think about it, the bigger it gets in our mind. And pretty soon we're facing a giant problem simply because we worried it into giant size. The land devours the people. Everybody's big size. We saw giants there. We seemed like grasshoppers. We're like little ants, insects to step on. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. See those words? In our own eyes. That's perspective. They're seeing with the eyes of fear, seeing with the eyes of negativity. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Really? This is a classic case of negativity. Eyes of fear caused me to see myself as inadequate. I couldn't be a good husband. I couldn't be a godly man. I couldn't make it in that business. I could never succeed at that, whatever. Notice the words, the land we explored devours. The word in Hebrew means to eat up. What they're saying is these people are going to eat our lunch. They're like cannibals. And then they say all the people we saw there are of great size. The Hebrew there for great size literally means bullies and tyrants. Then it says we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes and we looked the same to them. How do you know how you look to them? You don't. Here's a fact of human nature. We always tend to project our fears onto other people. So if you think you're inadequate, you think everybody else thinks you're inadequate. If you think you're unattractive, you think everybody else thinks you're unattractive. They don't necessarily think that at all, but because you do, or I do, we project it onto them. If you think you're uncoordinated and klutzy, then you think everybody else thinks you're uncoordinated and klutzy. And they don't necessarily. The fact is, we don't know what other people think about us, but we allow our fears to be projected onto other people, and we think everybody thinks that way. They don't. But it's our own eyes of fear that have caused us to miss what other people see in us. If you think you're inadequate, you could never make that kind of faith commitment to get healthy. I could never make that kind of faith commitment to get out of debt. Some people are looking at it with eyes of faith, and you're looking at it with eyes of fear. And we need to change that, because otherwise we're going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. The sixth thing is I make myself miserable. If I don't look at my life, I don't look at my future with faith eyes, I end up making myself miserable. Nothing is more miserable to be around somebody than to be around somebody who's scared and negative and against it all, thinking it's not going to happen. Numbers 14, 1 and 2 says, after they gave this negative report, then all the people began weeping aloud and they cried all night. That's a long time to cry. And they grumbled and they complained in a great chorus against their leaders. When people are afraid, they start criticizing the leader. Complained against their own leaders, Moses and Aaron. We wish we died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. What happens when I get negative? I throw myself a pity party. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I think I'll go and eat worms. There are three parts to a pity party, and they're all in that verse. Crying, complaining, second guessing. That's it. When you live with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith, they cried all night. And then they grumbled and complained in a great chorus. It's amazing how our fears cause us to complain about everybody else. And then we second guess. We wish we'd died in Egypt, for heaven's sake, or even here in the wilderness. Do you know that some people would rather die in the wilderness than face their fears? The harvest of fear in our life is crying and complaining and second guessing. Well, what's the antidote? The antidote is to learn to look with faith. To look at myself, to look at God, to look at my husband or my wife, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, look at my future, my finances, my health, my giving, my witnessing. I need to look at everything in my life with faith, because faith trumps fear. Faith creates confidence. Faith gets us moving. That's what Caleb did. Verse 30, it says, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go at once and take possession of the land right now. We can certainly do this. It's like he said, calm down. you're making a big deal out of this. You're stressing out. He silenced the people before Moses. We should go at once, take possession of the land right now. We can certainly do this. They're the eyes of faith. We should go at once. We should do it right now. Notice, I defeat my fears with movement. It's interesting. It's an important principle. I defeat my fears with doing something. I don't argue them away. I don't discuss them away. I don't wish my fears away. I don't talk them away. Ultimately, I defeat my fears with movement. Caleb says, right now we should go. We should move against our fears. We don't discuss it. We don't focus on it. People say, I've got to see it to believe it. Actually, it's the opposite. I've got to believe it to see it. How do I do that? How do I see God's purpose for my life? How do I see it? So I can just say yes. Let me give you three starter steps. There are more than these, but these are the starter steps just to get us going. First thing I need to do is to invite Jesus into every area of my life. Often at a funeral I use that passage about in my Father's house are many rooms. But it's true of our hearts too. Our heart is like a home with many rooms in it. We have a family room where we give attention to the family, and we have a work room where we give attention to our work, and we have a relaxing room, a dining room if you like. We have a bedroom for our intimate life. We have a garage where we pile all the stuff. Folks, we need to know that every room that isn't filled with Jesus is potentially filled with worry. Because when Jesus enters a room, he should fill it with peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So any area of my life where I'm worried, any area of your life where you're upset, any area of my life where I'm anxious and nervous, that's an area of life that I probably haven't given over completely to Jesus. Because when Jesus walks into a room, he fills it with peace. So our worries reveal, at least in some sense, the areas of our life that aren't fully under Christ's control. And whatever room is not filled with Jesus is not filled with peace. It's filled with fear and worry and anxiety. Jesus said it like this in John 3:3. If we want to get eyes of faith, if I want to see how God sees my life, Jesus said, unless you're born again, you can never see the kingdom of God. See, when we're born physically, we get five physical senses. Hear, touch, taste, smell, see. Everything we experience in life, we experience through those five physical senses. Spiritually, when we're born again, God gives us a new life spiritually, and we get a set of spiritual senses. You get spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and spiritual tastes and touch and smell. Spiritual eyes means we see things we wouldn't normally see before. Like sometimes you're reading the Bible and then all of a sudden you say, I've read that 100 times and I've never seen that before. It just stands out to you now. It's like God opened the eyes of your heart at that moment and you saw something with spiritual eyes. Or when you have spiritual ears, you hear people say things you would have missed before, and all of a sudden you say, oh, now I know how to help that person. God lets you hear that so you can help them. God gives a set of spiritual senses when we're born again. That includes being able to see what he wants to do in our life and say yes. So we've got to open our life to Jesus. The second thing that we have to do is, I need to say yes to baptism. A lot of people don't realize how important baptism is to unlocking God's power and purpose in their lives. Baptism is the way that expresses my faith in Jesus Christ publicly. Jesus said everybody should do it. Publicly saying, I'm not ashamed to identify myself with Jesus. I'm not talking about being dedicated or christened as babies. Jesus was dedicated as an infant too. But then when he was 30 years old, as an adult, he went down to John the Baptist at the river, Jordan, and was baptized, immersed in water. Why would he do that? My guess is because he wanted us to do it too. The Bible says, when you are baptized underwater, you are buried with Christ. That's why we put people underwater. Every baptism in the Bible symbolizes a burial. You die to the old way of life. And then you are raised up. That's like being raised up out of the water with him through faith in the power of God. That's where the power gets released. Your faith in the power of God who brought Christ back to life. If he brought Jesus back to life, he can bring circumstances, he can bring situations, he can bring relationships back to life in your life. But he says by baptizing, we are expressing our faith in the power of God. You can say yes to that. here at Church in the Marketplace by joining us for a four-week small group in March and April. We call it Connected Church in the Marketplace, and it helps us prepare for baptism that we usually do on Easter Sunday. But if you want to be baptized anytime, come and see me and we'll arrange to do that. If you think you'd like to be baptized or reaffirm your baptism, you can talk to me after the service. The third thing that we need to do, it's the last one, is do whatever God tells us to do. That's the third thing. Obedience is the third thing that unlocks the power and the purpose of God in our lives. Here's an example. Back in Numbers 14, 6 to 9, Joshua with Caleb said, "We saw the land ourselves and it's very good if we obey the Lord. He will surely give us the land rich with milk and honey, so don't rebel. We have no reason to be afraid of the people who live there. The Lord is on our side, and they won't stand a chance against us." You know all the stuff that we're worried about? Doesn't stand a chance when we do what God says. The Lord is on our side. These guys had forgotten that God had been preparing the promised land for hundreds of years. And then he did miracle after miracle in Egypt, defeated the most powerful nation in the world, brought them out miraculously, fed them manna and quail every day for a long period of time, and now they're afraid to go into the promised land that God's given them. You know what? One of the saddest verses in the Bible is, it's in Hebrews 3:19. It says this, it's talking about these people. "So we see that they were not able to enter." They didn't get to go into the promised land. They didn't get what God had promised. They missed the blessing God had planned for them. They missed their destiny. They were not able to enter because of their unbelief, it says. It was their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their unbelief. Folks, I don't want you or me to miss out on God's purpose for our life. And I don't want us to miss out on our calling as God's church. So let's go for it. Let's say no to the things we're afraid of and keep moving against those things and say yes by our faith. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, I want you in every room of my life. As I start a new year, I want a new me. And I'm opening every room of my life to you. I want to be born again. I want those spiritual senses to see the things you want me to see, to hear the things you want me to hear. And so once again, I invite you into every room of my life. Jesus, I want to be baptized as you were, buried with you and then raised up with you, so my faith in the power of God is real to me and shown to those around me. Lord, I ask you to help me to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm sorry when I'm afraid. I've held back. I've been afraid to risk. Help me to see my future with your eyes of faith. Help me to just say yes to you in the area of faith in my life. To say yes to those parts of life that you call me into, those purposes you want for me to fulfill. Help me to be willing to just say yes. In your name I pray. Amen.